You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
Can you believe it's Heart for the House again? A big welcome to you if you're new, if it's your first time here. And of course, a big welcome if it's not. You're all welcome. And welcome online, if you're listening online today, be very welcome. And I hope today's word is good for you and encourages you. Heart for the House is something we traditionally do in our church at Rockingham Baptist Church. But yeah, I'm still a bit shocked that the year's already gone by and we're here again. So yeah, this is week two. My name's Sean, I'm a pastor at church here, and I just love being here because I love Jesus. We have a little saying in our strategic plan. It says Rockingham Baptist Church, a place to be family. I wonder if that's hit you in your heart, if you've read those words, because it has me. So Rockingham Baptist Church, our vision statement says, is a place to be family. And pretty much since I walked in the doors of this church, it's been a place for me to belong because of that, because it's a place to be family. And obviously this morning I want to talk about our vision. It's separated into two kind of distinct parts, so I'll go through them a little bit. But let me read it again. A family united in Christ, living faith, living hope, living love. The first part of our vision talks about a family united in Christ. I don't know about you guys, but that's good news. I think it's great. I think to be united in Christ is just one amazing thing. How good is it, with all that Jesus has done in our lives and all that he continues to do, that we're united in him as a family? I think some of us are united in cricket, maybe. I think some of us are united in like a youth group or the worship team or a craft group, a home group. There's lots of things in our church that unites us and brings us together, but nothing unites us more than being united as a family of people that believe in Jesus Christ. Through Christ alone. Don't diminish those things we do together, because they're great. We love them. But just remember, at the end of the day, we're a family united in Jesus Christ. Whose family comes together sometimes and there's differences? Again, I'll put my hand up. There can be differences in families, right? And those things can be irritating and hard and difficult to deal with. And I guess in some way that when we have church together, we can have differences, right? But because of who we are in Christ, because we're a family united in Christ, those differences don't have to define us. We don't have to be separated because we don't agree with, I don't know, the colour of the carpet or something. We don't have to separate from one another because we have differences. We can come back to Jesus and say, that's where we're together. You've got us here as a family of people, believing, knowing Jesus, knowing what he's done for us. And if we start there all the time, I think we'll always be together. Let's face it, we're our belief in Jesus, we're going to spend eternity together. Yeah? Let's start now. What a promise. The amazing thing about being in the family of Christ is that you're his child. Do you know that today? Do you believe it? Is that where you start from today? Knowing that you're God's child? In our joy, in our suffering, in all we do, is that where we start today? Knowing our identity is in Christ as his children. I think if we can start Heart for the House this year knowing that and going out into the year and doing the things that we need to do and hold on to that belief and really, like, deep down in your heart knowing your identity in Christ, then it's going to be a good thing. It's going to be a good year because God's got us. We talk about a house, like this house of Jesus, and what a good foundation that is. Knowing your identity in Christ, knowing you're his child, knowing that you're loved by him. That's so encouraging. You know, I do want to say, when we talk about Heart for the House, we're not talking about these walls, the roof, the buildings, the chairs. We're talking about each other. We're talking about us and being part of God's church. We are the church. We're his people. Please remember, we're talking about us and not the building. And as I was writing this message, I really felt strongly that we could just take a little moment out of the sermon today and pray for the rest of our families. Because I know some of our family members are struggling. And I know not all of our all our family members have accepted Jesus into their hearts. There's sadness in that. There should be an aching in our hearts for those people. And I just want to take a moment now and pray with you all. So could you please join me in prayer? Father, we come to you today as a family united in you. United in Jesus, knowing already what you've done in our lives, knowing how you've transformed us, and knowing how you have spoken to us and called us into this life with you. But Lord, we also have family members that we bring to you this morning that are struggling to see you in the chaos and craziness of life. They're struggling to hold on to you. They've known you, but they're struggling, Lord. And we pray this morning for them, that they have an understanding, like a deep revelation of who you are and your love for them. And Lord, we pray that as we continue to meet with these family members in our lives, that we have opportunities to share your light and your love with them through our actions and our words. And Lord, we always pray for those family members too that are yet to see you. They're yet to accept you. And Lord, we lift them up to you today. We ask you to prepare them and give them hearts of good soil and give us more opportunity to speak your good word and plant seeds in their hearts that will bring them into a full realization of who you are. So Lord, we uplift not only our church family this morning, but our families that are really, really struggling and are finding it hard to see you, Lord. We know you've got them, and we thank you for your love. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Oh, it's good to, it's good to pray together. So the next part of our vision goes on a little further. And we're a family united in Christ, understanding our identity, living faith, living hope, and living love. There's a bunch of scriptures. There's 1 Corinthians 13:13. There's Acts 2:42-47. There's James 2:14-26. I don't have to go through all those this morning. I would suggest that if you don't have this strategic plan, you grab it and have a read of those scriptures because they're great. But there's one that really stood out to me, and it's 1 Thessalonians 1 to 3. And I want to talk about that today. Let's read it first. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading this one and thinking, great. If this goes on a little bit further, Paul's going to write down the things that make this church in Thessalonica really great. I'm going to have the key to the perfect youth group or the perfect craft group, because it'll be written down and it'll be easy to follow and understand. It wasn't quite that easy though. I'll go on and explain a little bit. You know, it's okay to feel that way too. I do think as a church at the moment we have an almost blank canvas. And this week I've been thinking about easels. You know, those things that hold paintings up. And I think our church at the moment has this painting to do. Chris challenged us last week when she spoke about love. She said, is the job done? Did anyone say yes? I didn't. The job isn't done yet. And I think we have this artwork, this painting that we can do. you know, the easel's held up with three legs, faith, hope, and love. The canvas, maybe the canvas is here, is our strategic plan, our vision. But we have this opportunity as a church to paint a picture, to do some work. And I think traditionally during Heart for the House, we speak about the ministries, the work, the labour, the commitment to it, the endurance that we need. And of course, I really want to encourage you to find your place in church and serve and be part of the church and really get involved. But can I just say one thing about faith this morning? It's not the work that we do that's important. It's that it's produced by faith. It's okay to do things afraid. It's okay to step out in faith to a job or a work or something we can do in church. Paul didn't list down what the Thessalonians did. He didn't say at 5 o'clock they fed the poor, at 6 o'clock they prayed, there's no list. But what he commended for them was that as they did their work, they did it by faith in Jesus Christ. So about 7 years ago, time's gone quick, I stepped out in faith in this very church. I decided to help in youth. I didn't really want to do it. I think I did. I don't know. I'm not sure. I was hesitant. That's all I want to say. But being uncomfortable and being unsure of what happened, what goes on. I didn't grow up as a Christian. I'd been to youth group, but I wasn't sure what happened here. But I still took a step of faith, and I turned up that one time. And I turned up again the next time, and the next time. And I think as I reflect back, it's not the fact that I went to youth group. Yeah, that's important. But I was learning to step by step by step by step grow in faith in God and what he wanted me to do. Often wonder too, like maybe if I didn't take that step in, would I be here now? I don't know. What about love? Again, I'll ask you the question. Do we turn up to craft group or to Friday Night Light because we have to? Are we going to serve this house and serve God because we have to? Or do we do it because we are prompted by love? Can I suggest that if you're going to serve this year, do it because God loves you. Do it because you love God. And do it because you love your neighbor. Be real with God in these moments. Talk to him. God, what have you got me doing? Be real with yourself too. If you've been doing something for 20 years, do you have to keep doing it? Are you really still in love with that ministry? Or is it time to do something new? Like, have you got a love or a passion for something else? And church, be real with each other. Because you love one another. Do you know what our values are in this church? They're values. It's being real, having a go, pursuing God, following Jesus, and gathering together. Having a go and be real are probably my favourites. We did this as a staff team the other day, and I think, yeah, it was evident that being real and having a go is something that we value in this church. It's so good. Do you know that Jesus served in love? We heard last week that he washed our feet, or his disciples' feet, in love. So let love motivate your labour. It's not easy all the time to labour on your own, but it's much easier to do it with Jesus because you love him, and that's your motivation. That burden shifts from me when I come into youth group to sharing it with Jesus. It's a lot easier. The final little part of our vision here is hope. I think it's the hope that lets us endure. God's put something on your heart. He's prepared you for something. He's given you a skill or a gift that you can use. In 1 Peter, it says this: each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful steward of God's grace in its various forms. So as a church, we want to encourage you in your gifts and what God's given you to use for God's glory and God's goodness. And that will help you endure. The gift that you've got, the passion that you've got for something is going to help you get through. And of course, we endure because our hope is in Jesus Christ. And I know with hope in Jesus that he's doing a work, that he's doing something good. That births things like consistency. It enables you to turn up time after time. On Friday night, last week, we started our youth groups again, and 70 kids, there or thereabouts, came through the door. Do you know how much patience that takes? And guess what? We're going to turn up and do it again next Friday because we're consistent and we're enduring because our hope is in Jesus. It's not in the youth group. It's not in the building. It's in Jesus, that he wants us here to serve him in that capacity. It is fun. I kind of complain, but you know, it's amazing. I was saying goodbye to the kids at the door, and one amazing little girl just came up and gave me a hug at the end. And if I'm not serving, I don't get that. That's a gift from God. So be encouraged, church. Paul goes on to say that it's in Thessalonians 1, verse 7, it says, "And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia." I think I've pronounced that incorrectly, but that's okay. The encouragement there is that this church, this Thessalonian church, goes on to be a model. And Paul commended this church because they ultimately imitate Christ. Again, he doesn't list their deeds, their good deeds. He talks about a work produced by faith. He talks about a labor prompted by love. And he talks about an endurance through the strength of Christ. So we know this morning that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. We know that. That knowledge was put into my head, maybe before school, but I think it mainly at high school, that knowledge. And that information sat there, just probably like my times tables and my science lessons, it sat there as knowledge for a very, very long time. I actually couldn't follow Jesus because I knew he died on the cross. I knew he rose from the dead. But there was a little bit missing for me. And I needed to understand his motivation for things. Jesus labored because he loved me. Jesus labored because he loves you as well. And when I think about that being his motivation for dying on the cross, then it changed everything. It became relational. It became about a connection that he'd done for me, a relationship that he'd restored for me. And it moved away from being a knowledge to something deeply, deeply relational. Can I share that with you this morning? The love of Jesus. When you think about him on the cross, that he's doing it, or he did it because he loved you. Can you share that with others? I'd also heard about his miracles. I'd read all about them in Bible studies. A big deal, I thought. Where are my miracles? I haven't seen that. But the realization of Jesus and his faith in God was the point in those miracles. I became to understand that through faith that I could have it too. It was the faith in God that produced the miracles that Jesus performed. So good. God has opened my eyes since then to the miracles that he performs every day. Floating in the ocean, being in his creation, seeing scriptures in different light, in different ways, time after time, seeing people get healed, just things that can only be God. But before I knew it was about faith in God, my eyes weren't open to that. Then we have hope. Our beautiful hope. Do you know Jesus endured? He hung on the cross because he had his hope in God. He had his hope for you that God's kingdom would be restored. And our relationship with God would be restored. Even this morning, someone was talking to me, like just before the service or during the welcome time, I can't remember, but we're talking about the ups and downs. We endure because we go through those ups and downs, but we do it with the grace of God. We can do it because of him. It's not our own strength. But we endure because Jesus endured, because he loves us. Our hope is in him. Remember, church, we're spending eternity together. We have an eternal hope together. So as I finish up, I want you to remember that you are a family united in Christ. That we have been called to live a life of faith, a life of hope, and above all, a life of love. So as you go out into Heart for the House this year, as you think about maybe there's an area you want to be involved in, take those three things. Pray, talk to God, ask him what he wants you to do. Ask him to remind you of some gifts that maybe you've forgotten about, or maybe you need to step out in faith for, so they can grow even bigger. There can be even more of a harvest.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.